Sealed, written by Naomi Booth and read by Bridget Lowry.
Prologue. We came out here to begin again. We came out here for the clean air and a fresh start. No one said to us, beware of fresh starts. No one said to us, God knows what we'll begin. Pete found the house online. Mountain view. We'd only seen pictures. But it looks so good. A whole house, the kind you can only dream of in the city, with scrubbed wooden floors, a bright enamel kitchen, a veranda with views across the valley. That we took the risk, put down the deposit sight unseen. The drive out took longer than we thought, and by the time we arrived, the van was already parked up in the driveway. The sun was going down, though it was still light enough, just to see. I sat in the passenger seat for a while as Pete helped the removal men. The front of the house was pretty in an implausible way, like a house in a picture book or a holiday brochure. A white chalet, edged with dark-leafed tropical plants. Behind the house, I could see the outline of the mountains in the distance, greying in the dusk, and nearby, lights glimmering in the valley bottom. We never had asked why the house was suddenly vacant, or why the rent was so cheap. It's best not to pry, Pete says. It's best not to worry. It'll be nothing, he says. A redundancy, a divorce, a clean, old-fashioned death. By the time I get out of the car, the blokes have already started carrying our boxes into the house. Pete has turned on the lights inside, and I dawdle in front of the porch. The plants look weird. It's been a while since I've seen anything this lush. I touch the leaves to check that they're real, and they're waxy and cool, like synthetic matter, but they tear through when I push with my nail. The blooms are enormous, frilly and faintly obscene. I can hear my mother's voice in my head, naming them for me. Gardenia, hibiscus, angel ivy. Their fragrance follows me, sweet and morbid on the cooling evening air. When I get inside, Pete grabs my hand, pulls me into the living room and points to a large box. Here, he says. You can sit on this until we get the chairs out. I've been sitting all day, I say. I want to look around. Not while all this is going on, he says. I don't want anyone to bump our bump. He leans down and kisses my swollen stomach. The removal men don't talk as they work. They sweat a lot and get everything into the house as quickly as possible. They've got another long drive ahead of them back to the city. I watch them working, letting myself imagine what they'll do tomorrow. Sunday, in town. Maybe the younger one will lie in, meet friends for brunch somewhere by the harbour. Bloody Marys and runny yellow yolks. Maybe he'll go to see a movie in one of the old theatres downtown with dusty velvet seats and mice skittering about in the dark. Maybe he'll sleep all day and then get wrecked on dirty beer in a bar by the market. Some of the things that we used to do. I turn my attention to the other man, the older of the two. He's heavy on his feet, grizzled around his muzzle like an old dog. There's something that draws my attention to his eyes. Something at the outer corners.